All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseballs, the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseballs, the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseballs, the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Fantastic.
Home to what, Matt?
Home away from San Diego. It was a great experience, and I will eagerly look forward to doing it again next year, but it is thoroughly, completely exhausting and draining. There's no way around it.
That's why we're calling this one Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Episode 68, No Place Like Home.
That's right. There is no place like home. The other studio today... Because, you know, Big Kev is out walking the earth.
Studio F.
Yeah, exactly. Studio F. And Kev is walking the earth, contemplating whether or not he's going to consider rejoining Galaxies.
A contemplation of a consideration.
Which is really the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
That's one of the decisions that you would expect somebody to make in, like, an evening, maybe an afternoon, maybe a trip to the Best Buy.
Right.
But he's got to walk the earth. Hopefully, he makes the right decision.
He's not going to make the right decision. He ain't even going to think about it until he gets home from his journey. He's going to be distracted by pirates and swords. We'll talk first about the Dark Knight quote-unquote trailer that is online, which really isn't much of a trailer so much as it's some imagery and some audio clips of Heath Ledger as the Joker laughing. Really is completely and totally unimpressive.
Well, it's appropriate, though, because the Joker's known for his laughing. See? I know that.
It's true. You're a genius.
I read a comic book.
You have just one? The Killing Joke, right?
I read that.
I know you did.
I did.
More exciting than the trailer, actually, was the image of Heath Ledger as the Joker holding the knife up to Maggie Gyllenhaal's throat, I believe, is the image. It's kind of dark and gloomy and creepy, and as it should be. It is the Joker.
Yeah, and you can pretty clearly see the scar on his face and how he's painted it red.
Yeah.
To accentuate the Joker's smile.
So the trailer, who really cares about it? No one is talking about it, as a matter of fact. They're talking more about that single image, which I think says way more than the trailer ever could. And I think, to be honest with you, that Warner Brothers would benefit themselves from holding back on something or on future trailers until mm-hmm. they actually have a legitimate trailer. Because some of the other trailers that are out there right now that we're seeing mm-hmm. are just amazing. For example, the Iron Man trailer that's been put together that was shown exclusively at Comic-Con, but is all over YouTube if you go and search for it. Looks really good. Tony Stark looks awesome in both the Mark One and the Red Armor. And you actually get to see him kind of fly around and do a little fighting in it. Some origin snippets in there about the shrapnel in his chest and what the glowing plate on his chest is doing for him as far as keeping him alive. It's pretty good. That's a good trailer. That was Marvel actually putting together something worthwhile.
So you have pretty high hopes for the movie then?
I do. As the movie develops, I'm getting more and more excited about it. I think it's going to develop really, really really nicely. I think it's going to end up being a pretty good movie. It can't be as bad as Ghost Rider. That's what I'm telling myself.
I was going to ask, in the milieu of all the Marvel movies so far, where do you put it? What do you compare it to? I know you haven't seen it. I know it's not out yet. Yeah, but take a stab in the dark.
Just based on the trailer, I'm going to have to put it not quite as high as maybe the first Spider-Man movie, which I really held in pretty high regards because I really liked it a lot.
A lot of people like that one.
But it's not as it's nowhere near as bad as Ghost Rider. And it looks like it's going to be better than Fantastic Four, which was better than Ghost Rider as well. So it's kind of like, I don't know, a little bit above the middle maybe.
Where does Daredevil fall on that?
Daredevil is a tricky one because I happen to like Daredevil.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I didn't think that it was terribly done. I liked Ben Affleck in the role. I liked, what's his name, is Bullseye. It's actually the only movie I've ever liked him in.
What was it, Colin, what's his name?
Yeah, the Irish dude, Colin Farrell.
Yeah, Colin Farrell.
Yeah, him. I actually thought he was pretty good as Bullseye. I thought Ben Affleck was good as Daredevil. I thought Jennifer Garner was good as Elektra, as long as she stayed in Daredevil and not in Elektra the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I didn't have a problem with Daredevil. But I would put Daredevil somewhere on par, I guess, with maybe Fantastic Four, maybe even a little above that. But this is above that. So cool. Not the upper echelon, but not the middle of the road and not the crap either.
I'll have to go to YouTube and check out the trailer that I'm not supposed to be seeing.
Yeah, definitely the scene of Iron Man flying between the two Navy jets. Navy jets. Air Force jets.
They could be Navy jets if they launched from an aircraft carrier.
That's true. They could be Navy jets. Well, anyway, flying between the two jets and doing his roll maneuver to get away from them in the armor, it looks pretty badass.
Right. Cool.
So that was definitely worth checking out. Some Hulk news. Oh, actually, wait. I shouldn't move on just yet from Iron Man because we do have a little bit more villain news that Jon Favreau has leaked out there about the villains in the Iron Man film.
Jon Favreau is leaking?
He is leaking. It's kind of gross and creepy, but maybe he could see a doctor for that.
He's leaking like super stretchy Mr. Fantastic.
Yes.
Ew. Corn syrup.
Ew. He has said that the villains in the first movie are going to be villains who utilize similar technology to what Tony Stark uses to create the Iron Suit. So Warhammer could play a role in the film as a villain, perhaps. And that other dude whose name is eluding me, Jeff Bridges. Thank you. Jeff Bridges could also end up using the technology in some way to be a villain, too. So that'll be interesting to see.
Cool.
Incredible Hulk. A little bit of news surrounding that. Insofar as they are completely... Marvel is just flat out saying now... They were kind of beating around the bush that they were redoing the first movie and that this kind of was just a re-envisionment. No, they're pretty much just saying the first movie was shit and we want to do something better.
As a studio, how do you go about saying that? Was there a press release? Is it just they interview somebody who's a head executive and the guy's like, scratch that?
It was an interview. And it was an interview done at Comic-Con again, and they said that this is a whole brand new beginning of the Hulk saga, and it's a whole new film, and the character is going an entirely different and brand new direction, which really pretty much sums up to be, forget the first movie ever happened, we'd like to pretend it doesn't exist, this is what it should be, and this is what we want to now make the Hulk film. So
they're kind of doing a my bad.
Yeah, exactly. My bad.
How does there's an image, right?
There is an image.
I saw you sent me an image today.
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
It's like the green flat-headed Hulk, right?
It is the green flat-headed Hulk. It does look a little bit better than the Hulk from the original Hulk movie. Mm-hmm. It looks a little bit more like the smart Hulk. If you're familiar with the Hulk comic books, it's more Smart Hulk than it is just Hulk Smash Hulk from the first movie. So maybe that's the direction they're going to take. There has been some talk about the characterization of it with Edward Norton playing the role of Bruce Banner and eventually the Hulk. I could see them going with a much less monster type Hulk and maybe more of a superhero, more controlled type of character. So that's possible. Could be Smart Hulk is where they're going. Again, that's what I think it looks like. So,
wasn't the Hulk like a giant? Like, I literally mean like huge. Like, he was like as big as a tank in the other one.
He was. He was bigger than a tank.
And he kept getting bigger. Didn't that happen? Am I
No, I don't think he got bigger in the movie. I don't think so.
No? Okay.
He was pretty ginormous, though. If you remember, there's that one scene where he's like towering over the tank and he grabs it by the barrel and spins it around and throws it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm mixing it up is there's a issue of the Ultimates where he's running and he just looked very big to me. And then somebody says, I can't catch up to him. He's moving at, and I think the number is 220 miles per hour.
That's
and I thought
big,
to myself, how the does the Hulk run at 220 miles per hour?
Wheelies. He's got Hulk side wheelies. And what you don't realize is that he's actually skating at 200 miles an hour.
Maybe I'm making this up, though. It could have just been one of those Hulk dreams that I'm always having.
Pretty positive I'm making up the wheelies thing, but that's okay. We'll move on. J.J. Abrams. Some news surrounding the Star Trek film that's coming out. Siler from Heroes has been confirmed for the role of Spock in the Star Trek film. However, Matt Damon has pretty much been shot down and debunked.
I thought that was a rumor before. I thought that was something that was official before.
Well, I think everybody thought it was official. It seemed really solid. The studio had kind of indicated that that's the way that they were going. And then he has recently come out and said that Matt Damon, way too old to play that role. He's looking for an actor more in his 20s.
I wonder how Matt Damon feels.
I don't know. I think Matt Damon looks pretty young still. And actually, you know, as far as the overall look goes, I think he could pull off maybe late 20s, early 30s. And Spock kind of has a youthful longevity to him. Like, that I think that a little bit of an age discrepancy between him and Kirk would be almost appropriate.
When you don't smile at all, you don't get those frown lines, your forehead, you don't get those ridges up in the top.
No crow's feet on your eyes.
No. Vulcan is a Vulcan. Planet with a sun, though. It's like one of those lava planets or something that, right? It's got a hot sun, so he's got to spend a lot of time in the sun, I guess.
I guess.
That wouldn't be good for his skin at all, but I don't know the Trek.
I don't know, but somehow the Vulcans do have some sort of youth to them that the humans do not. And so I think a little bit of an age discrepancy is appropriate. I still think Matt Damon would have been a good choice, but we'll have to see. I mean, you know, J.J. Abrams is trustworthy, perhaps.
Known to be a liar.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
And speaking of J.J. Abrams, did you see the movie poster, the teaser poster for Cloverfield or Furious or 1808 or 100 other different titles that movie is going
by? Is that really what they're doing now? They're just doing names all over the road just to screw with my head?
Well, on the permits to film in New York, the working title of the film is actually Cheese. I don't know why or how.
That's going to be the real name.
It is. And then there was some rumor out there that it was going to be called Furious or Monstrous. Was floated around for a while. But Cloverfield... Oh, and then there was also the 1808, which is the date the film is supposed to open. Okay. But I think it's supposed to actually take place that day, too. So, but I think Cloverfield is the one that seems to be sticking the best, and that's the one that I'm going to call it. But the teaser poster looks pretty cool.
It's definitely intriguing, but it does not give you any more information. It just raises more questions.
But that's okay. It's kind of...
What does it look like to you? It's the Statue of Liberty.
It's the Statue of Liberty with a large chunk missing, as though something had flown through it.
Right.
And on the other side of the Statue of Liberty is the skyline with a series of buildings, also with chunks just missing right out of the center of them.
Right. And it also looks like whatever it was probably flew through the statue, came out the other side, and then kind of dipped down to hover above the water where it disrupted the level of the water and then hit like a missile or a rocket or a giant superhero guy flying. Who the hell knows
Voltron,
what it is?
Perhaps.
I thought it was Godzilla at first, but I
don't know. I think it adds more mystery to a film that seems to be making waves on mystery, being shrouded in questions and no real firm answers. And I think that the teaser poster is just that. It's a good tease for what we're going to see.
I'm intrigued.
Are you?
Those bastards. I hate it when I'm like looking forward to something or I hate this feeling right now where we talk about it and we speculate and I know that they're winning.
you know somewhere is just doing the little hand thing. They're making the, yeah, exactly. And they're just eagerly listening for us and, yes. and laughing at us because we're completely and totally wrong. It's,
my plan
happening.
Is unfolding perfectly.
A diabolical laugh. There you go.
Oh, those bastards.
It's Dr. Claw from Gadget. But speaking of trailers, there's a new trailer out. It's an unrated trailer for 30 Days of Night.
All right, unrated.
Have you seen this?
No.
No. I didn't send you the link, so you probably wouldn't
How would I have seen it?
Exactly. If you go to the 30 Days of Night official website, you can see it. You have to put in some information to verify your age. Like, it asks for your name and your address and your birth date. And if any of the information is wrong, it denies you. Somehow it links up to Big Brother and it knows that you're lying and it will not let you access to the site.
No, you know what it does? It denies you two times. And then by that time you realize, oh, I got to put in my real stuff.
Is that
what it
is?
It just messes with your head, man.
But the trailer looks fan-freaking-tastic. And it looks terribly gory and terribly disturbing. And I think it's actually going to be a really good horror-based vampire film with a really good solid story, which is unique in the vampire film genre because they tend to get hokey or end up being about everything other than vampires.
Mm-hmm.
They end up being love stories or social commentary, or they end up being like, you know, Dracula 3000 in space. So this looks like it's actually going to be a legitimate vampire movie.
You're forgetting Once Bitten with Jim Carrey.
I am not forgetting Once Bitten with Jim Carrey. I'm choosing to not mention Once Bitten with Jim Carrey.
All right.
So you should check out the unrated trailer. It is pretty violent. The fact that there's like an 8-year-old girl just mauling people and, and eating them and then they cut her head off is really just worth every second of it.
That's the only remedy for a mauling 8-year-old girl.
It's completely and totally true. Let's talk a little bit about DVDs for this week. What came out?
I got a couple of those.
Do you really? What'd you get?
No, I didn't buy anything.
Oh, you bastard.
I have some.
I have a couple too, but you know, you have to talk about the ones that came out this week. What's exciting to us, to our people, our listeners?
To my people?
To your people.
Spaghetti.
Well, yes, the Italians are intrigued by spaghetti. I would know, but no. DVD this week. Yeah. We have Hot Fuzz.
Oh,
which
did you buy it?
I did not, but I added it to my Blockbuster Total Access online rental queue.
Oh.
And I should have it before the end of the week.
Well, when you get it, let me know and I'll borrow it.
You can borrow it. And for those of you who don't know, Hot Fuzz is by the same creative team that brought us Shaun of the Dead. So it's got that British BBC type of humor to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks campy and hokey and ridiculous all at the same time. And for those of you who like Shaun of the Dead, I think it's going to be a must. So I'm pretty eager to see that.
Cool.
We also have 300 out this week in 50 different versions on DVD. There was a widescreen version. There was a full screen version. There was a 2-disc special edition. And then depending on where you bought it, you either got another third bonus disc, a prop replica helmet, a series of trading cards, or a poster. So,
wow.
Yeah. So lots of 300 hubbub.
Do you think that there's anybody who really loves 300 and actually goes out and buys every one of those just for the promo item?
I'm guessing not. I'm guessing the two big sellers are going to be the prop helmet and the third bonus disc.
Yeah, there's always like one really good promo and,
yeah,
you know, two or three other really crappy ones.
Yeah. So 300 out on DVD this week. And that's really it. I think there was a Babylon 5 direct to DVD disc that came out this week. So for you Bab 5 fans, for you J. Michael Straczynski fans, that's pretty exciting. You can go and check that out. But yeah, that's DVDs for this week.
Related to that, I have something that I'm very sad that Kevin is not here for, and I figure I'll tell you about and we'll put it on the record. It's called the LG Super Blue. It's Blu-ray,
okay,
but not only Blu-ray, it's Blu-ray and HD DVD.
Ooh, it is a hybrid.
A hybrid player, just like Kevin says that he wants. And I got to give it to the guy.
Okay.
It doesn't seem so ridiculous now that the HD DVD versus Blu-ray debate seems like a non-issue.
Okay.
You know, you got players like this coming out. It doesn't matter what you're buying.
Right.
You can buy it, stick it in your player, watch it on your nice, you know, 1080p TV.
Sure.
In progressive scan, high definition. It just doesn't matter. There's no debate.
Do you happen to know if there's a price associated with that player?
It doesn't have a price on here. What I'm actually looking at is a advertisement on the back of Computer Shopper magazine.
Oh, all right.
But I'll look that up. I'll let you know.
Yeah, I'm curious to know how it ranks versus a Blu-ray player or high-def player. Is it comparatively priced? Is it exponentially greater because it is a hybrid? You know, is it like 800 versus 600 or something like that? I'm kind of curious because, you know, in today's economy, I think price really drives a product. And so, you know, it still has the potential to make little or no impact based on that.
Right. What I can't tell from the shot that they have here is whether or not it has one or two player drawers in it, like okay. actual trays where you put the disc. It looks like it could be two, which if it is, I could see somebody who isn't the brightest bulb putting the wrong disc in the wrong tray. And I got to be honest, I mean, who the hell knows the difference? They all look the same, really.
If fill me in technology-wise, if you were to put it in there, would the laser from one ruin the disc from the other? The laser.
No, I don't think so.
No scratching or anything silly?
No, I think the
probably
laser...
Probably just wouldn't read.
The laser would just... It wouldn't be able to focus, basically. Right. There's a lens and it wouldn't be able to focus.
Okay, yeah. So not a huge issue.
No, it's not like you're going to burn a giant divot into your disc.
Although that would be pretty cool.
It's no Xbox 360.
That's right. Well, Xbox 360 has nothing to do with the laser. It just has to do with any kind of movement at all. A slight breeze blows through your living room while you're playing and your disc is just ruined and destroyed.
Suddenly you hear a circular saw.
Yeah. I'm pretty positive that I've ruined more than one of Big Kev's discs, probably by accident. So
don't tell him that.
It's our secret.
We'll cut that part out.
Okay. Let's get into Joss Whedon a wee bit here.
Okay.
Just a little. He had some announcements at Comic-Con this past week as well. He announced that Buffy looks like the comic book will continue past season 8 and into a potential season 9. And we know that they're doing an Angel season 6. So that's pretty exciting news for Buffy and Angel fans.
And this is a continuation of the TV series.
It is a continuation of the TV series. Season 8 is coming out in comic book form right now and is supposed to run until God knows when. And then I guess season 9 will follow up shortly thereafter. In addition to that, Joss is also developing a BBC television project called Ripper, which is based on the character Giles mm-hmm. from the Buffy television series. It's supposed to be Giles as a young watcher when he was called Ripper. And I don't know why the BBC is picking it up, but good for Joss for doing another television show. Good for him picking BBC as opposed to Fox, which would undoubtedly cancel the show after an episode. and good for the Buffy fans, because anything Buffy related is always pretty excited for them.
Cool.
In addition to that, we have the Serenity Special Edition 2-disc DVD coming out later this month that Joss was very happy about. He actually hugged a copy of the disc during his panel. So that's very sweet and very nice.
Just more content on the second disc?
Yeah, I think what we're going to see is I think we're going to see some of the special features that have been available in Region 2 and Region 4 previously. The Region 4 disc, which would be Australia's disc,
right,
had a ton of like speaking tours and panels and stuff that Joss had done added in there about the series and the movie. And then the Region 2 disc had some other making of documentaries, stuff that has been previously unavailable. In addition to that, the River Tam Sessions, which was the 5 short episode viral marketing campaign that Universal did for Serenity before the film came out, which has previously only been available online, is going to be on the DVD as well. So this will round out your Serenity collection.
Again, they got me.
They got you?
Yeah, that's one of the few DVDs that I own.
Nice.
And I did watch all of the extra content on it, and right, it was all very intriguing. I wanted more, and now we have it, and I got to pay for it.
Well, you can sell your other one back and probably get like $4 or $5 for it, and then apply it towards the new one.
Why don't they just smack me in the face?
They could do that. And actually, I think it comes in a tin. So if they do it with the special edition, it'll hurt.
It'll be like a hardcore match.
Exactly. Nice. Let's talk a little bit about a television show that ABC has coming out.
Okay.
The Masters of Science Fiction. This is going to be in the same vein of a show that already exists called The Masters of Horror, which is they took a series of horror-based short stories and short stories by famous authors and took a bunch of really famous horror directors and had them direct these made-for-TV and made-for-DVD short films mm-hmm. based on these. And now they're doing it with science fiction.
Cool.
ABC is going to be airing a series of them, and then they're going to make an additional three or four that'll be available only on DVD. And I think we should see some pretty good stuff come out of it.
It sounds like the live-action adaption of those book club books that you always see in magazines and comic books where it's like, you know, 14 books for $1 and you sign up. There's always books in there that are just compilations of, you know, short sci-fi stories and stuff. I got a hold of them once, and it's intriguing because you don't have to have a lot of time to read them.
No.
You know, you can read them in like an hour or so and put it down and you're done and you feel satisfied. Hopefully this is like that.
And actually there's a book that comes out each year, although the name is eluding me right now, but it comes out once a year, and it's actually a compilation of pretty much all of the published sci-fi short stories that came out during the course of that year. I don't know how they do it. They get together with all the publishers and they make it available. And if we see some of that stuff make it to film, I think it's going to be really good. I think you're going to be pretty excited to see some of the stuff.
Anything original is welcome.
Of course. I mean, you know, everything else has been so played out, and it'll be nice to see something sci-fi based as opposed to yet another Stephen King short story made into a terrible made-for-television movie. So sci-fi always more gooder.
All right.
And I have one last thing, and then if you have something, we can get into it. But
I got nothing as usual.
All right.
What is it?
At the Heroes panel at Comic-Con, they made an announcement.
Okay.
We knew that they were going to be doing a spin-off television series this year for Heroes. In addition to the regular show, they're going to have what I believe is 5 or 6 episodes, but it could be a little bit longer, individual standalone episodes. The series is going to be titled Origins, and each episode is going to focus on a single new character. And then after the episode is done, fans will be able to go online and vote for the character and for the storyline, and based on the results at the end, that character will actually be introduced into the regular Heroes storyline as a new villain or hero.
Wow.
The big news that came out is that Kevin Smith is going to be directing the first episode of that. So
yeah, that's cool.
That's really cool. Kevin is really excited to be doing it, and I think he's probably a great director to choose, especially because everybody has been busting his ass that he's stayed away from superhero projects.
Yeah.
He got kicked out of the Superman film. He dumped the Green Hornet film, and everybody says, look, you're a superhero guy. I mean, you've wrote comic books, all of your Jersey trilogy, even though there are 5 or 6 of them, are somehow related to comic books and comic book characters. You need to do something superhero. I think Heroes is going to end up being a good form for him to finally stretch that muscle. So
we'll see if he sets a high bar or if he just totally plays it safe.
I don't know. He's pretty excited about it. And I think he's going to give it his all. I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
Cool.
So we'll see.
Maybe that'll cause me to start watching Heroes.
You're missing out, dude. That's a really good show. I mean, it's better than Who Wants to Be a Superhero, which I also watch, but totally different.
Well, I'm not watching Heroes because I'm always at work saving up for the $1,300 that it costs to buy the LG Blu-ray HDVD hybrid player.
Right, and there it is. So going back to that conversation, while this certainly is great for those of you who don't want to have to make a decision, it is extremely price prohibitive for the average consumer.
It's pretty much about convenience. You can almost go get yourself a PlayStation 3 with the built-in Blu-ray player and an Xbox 360 with the addition of the HD DVD player, have all the games you want, right, and be able to watch the movies.
And probably pay less.
And probably pay slightly less. But it wouldn't be as convenient.
That's right. I don't know. It's good. It's good because once the technology is developed, like anything else, within a year or so, that thing will be $500 and everybody will want to buy one. Next to everybody will own one.
Yeah, so. It is the first one out there.
Do you have anything else in the news to talk about today?
No. Wrap it up.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with some of my tales and adventures from San Diego Comic-Con.
Straight from your blurry-ass TV to your pasty white chest, ComboBreaker.com t-shirts feature authentic graphics from your favorite old-school video games. Don't waste your money elsewhere. Our shirts are lower priced and give you the quality retro designs that real gamers demand. No cheesy parodies, no weak cultural references. We let the games speak for themselves. So set your TV to channel 3 and blow in that shitty-ass cartridge. Visit ComboBreaker.com today.
You know, I saw Kevin Smith recently in Bruce Willis's Live Free or Die Hard.
How was that?
It's okay. I'd say it's good.
Okay.
It's very... I never thought that a movie about Transformers who come from space and a planet called Cybertron would be more realistic than Die Hard 4.
Wow.
But it is. Somehow it is. But he plays a basement-dwelling 30-some-odd computer hacker.
Oh, okay.
Who hangs out in his command center. His character's name, or as he likes to be called, is the Warlock. But if you are into computers, and like I am, you're very critical of the way that they treat computers in movies, this may be one that you want to stay away from.
Oh, really?
Or if you're a glutton for punishment, you should watch it.
Wow, that's not not a raving review there.
No, it's scathing. Like there's situations like in Terminator when you go up to like the machine and you're like, I know how to hack this. My mom taught me. And then you swipe the card through and bling, access granted.
Yeah. Okay. So that's way too simple and easy.
Oh God.
Oh Jesus. Poor Kevin.
Matt, now we're gonna take some time to go through the pages of Matt's San Diego Diary.
Wow, what an introduction. That's wonderful.
Well, I figured you had some fun and you learned some new things. You saw some sights.
I did.
Spoke about trailers and stuff, and I'm sure you took some pictures.
There are going to be plenty of pictures in the weeks to come, yes.
And I thought that you wanted some time to tell me about it. Tell the listeners about it.
Well, yeah, I'll give you all a brief synopsis of our trip because, as you know, I met Big Kev down there, or over there. I guess it's not really down. It's more west.
Right.
Really. Over there on Thursday and literally hit the ground running. I mean, I got off the plane. I got my rental car. I went to my hotel. I took care of some personal business. I got back in my car. I went right to the con and I just went all day that first day. It was madness.
So what's the first thing that you saw when you got there?
Well, it was my first time at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
I had never been there before. So I really wanted to try to focus on the floor. Just walk around and try to take it all in.
So you walk with your head down the whole time.
With my head down. Well, that's the only way you could walk around there. No, really, the first day, I pretty much spent walking the floor from one side of the room to the other. And there was a million things to see, and it wasn't overly crowded yet on Thursday. You actually could walk pretty freely, not a lot of congestion up and down every row. So I did get to see a little bit of everything on Thursday.
Cool,
which is very nice. But Friday was a very exciting day. Friday, I actually started my day off not at the con. I went to the San Diego Zoo for a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, I had a very good time. The pandas and the koala bears, very cute. Polar bears, also very cute, swimming and having fun. But then I got to the con.
Okay.
And one of the first things I did once I got to the con was I was walking around and I was shopping at one of the booths and I got a quick phone call from a friend of mine. And he's like, you have to come over to the brown coat booth. There was a brown coat booth at the event. It was these Southern California brown coats and they had a nice table set up with all these shirts and paraphernalia and et cetera.
Right.
And standing at said booth, just kind of hanging out and greeting fans, was none other than Joss Whedon.
Nice.
I got to meet Joss. I got to shake his hand and take a picture with him. And he's a very, very nice gentleman. I was very happy to see him there.
Now, he's a nice guy, but he didn't let you in on any secrets, right?
He did not let me in on any secrets. He was trying to save all of the secrets for his panel, which really were, you know, we kind of talked about some of them earlier. But still, nonetheless, the fact that he was out there and he was being mobbed by the fans and he was kind of just taking it in stride and smiling the whole way and greeted everybody and signed everything. It was pretty cool to see him.
When you approached him and you extended your hand to shake his, were you wearing that shirt along with your Jane hat?
You know what? I was not. I was ill-prepared because I knew that the next day I was going to actually see him at his panel. And I had planned on, you know, kind of geeking out a little bit for that. So I did have a Firefly-related t-shirt on, though. And my messenger bag is a brown coat messenger bag. So I was still representing, keeping it real. And I had my Geek Stuff pins all over my messenger bag. So in the photo, you could see my pins. It's very nice.
Nice.
So so that's how the day started. It was immediately followed up by hanging out with Kevin Smith out on the patio on the second floor of the convention center while he was doing some press for some other people that he didn't seem like he wanted to really do, but had to do it anyway.
Now, how the hell did that happen?
We kind of snuck into the press room because we knew he was going to be up there, me and Kev. And we waited eagerly for him to be done with everybody else. And, you know, Big Kev knows Mr. Smith fairly well and was greeted with a big giant hug by Mr. Smith. And then I was introduced to Kevin as Big Kev's partner, to which I immediately took much ribbing and joking and mean-spirited, not niceties from both Big Kev and Kevin Smith. So that was not very fun. So after taking my verbal beating for being his quote-unquote partner and then, you know, changing that to co-host, we then went down to the... it was terrible. I mean, it's like, you know, I really do contribute at least something to this show. I could be considered a co-host, one would think, but no, I'm his partner. I'm his gay lover, apparently.
Did you say, "I'm not gay, I'm not gay," and then
shake his hand? No, I didn't, but I was thinking it on the inside. immediately after that, we went and to the Pirates of the Caribbean pavilion, because that's really what it was. It was a giant replica of the Black Pearl right on the floor of Comic-Con.
Wow.
With this, and it was kind of beached up on this giant rock that you can then walk through and see some like press stuff for the film and the franchise and stuff like that. And we got to interview two gentlemen from the film, Marty the Midget and and Pintel, who is the hello puppet, that guy.
Right.
So that was kind of fun. They were both very cool and talked about some of their other projects. And you'll get to hear some of that audio in later weeks. But still very nice to meet them and get to interview them and stuff like that.
So a giant ship as a pavilion on the floor seems like it would be kind of an expense and kind of a lot of hoopla to go through if they're not going to do more and more with pirates.
Well,
I mean, I know there's games, and
there's
probably
games.
Card games and board games and
yes.
Lunch boxes and all that kind of stuff, but going to Comic-Con with something like that seems huge.
Well, there was some slight hinting and indication that while the franchise is certainly on hiatus right now, while everybody works on other projects, Johnny Depp is doing Sweeney Todd and some other stuff, and most of the other actors and actresses have other projects going on, that the potential return to the franchise in some way, shape, or form is not completely out of the realm of possibility.
All right.
So I think that maybe they're trying to keep it alive and fresh. And, you know, the DVD still hasn't come out yet, so there's still room for marketing and promotion there.
True.
So you know, I guess it served a purpose in some way. Plus, it allowed us to interview those two blokes, so that was kind of fun. after that, we got to go to a round table, again, for press only, with Kevin Bacon for about 25 minutes and get to ask him questions and listen to him talk about a new film that he's got coming out, which was, you know, kind of exciting because I really was only a handful of feet away from Kevin Bacon.
Is Kevin Bacon as scary in real life as he looks on in the movies?
You know what? He's kind of intense. He looks serious the entire time. He kind of cracked jokes once or twice, but very intense.
His face is like the fjords. It's like a craggy mountaintop.
It is. It's true. And then, you know, immediately after his round table, I went to the men's room because, you know, it had been a long morning and I hadn't had a chance to pee yet. And while I'm standing at the urinal, Kevin Bacon walks in and stands at the urinal next to me. So now in the realm of 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, I am 1 degree to the left of Kevin Bacon's urinal. If you want, you can add me in there when you're playing 6 degrees next time.
Nice.
So that was kind of cool. So yeah, Saturday really was kind of a star-studded day, if you will. Sunday was, I'm sorry, that was Friday. Saturday was a lot more relaxed and laid back. We got to do some panels, kind of got to check out some things. Again, we spent a lot of time on the floor. I got to see in person a statue that Sideshow has coming out that previously and still has a lot of controversy surrounding it. And after seeing said statue, my reaction to the controversy was exactly what it was before, was you people need to really just get over yourselves and take a deep breath. It's really only a statue.
Nobody is getting over this statue, men or women.
It's ridiculous. Let me tell you what it is in case you don't know. Sideshow is doing a series of comiquettes based on Marvel super heroines, if you will, or popular Marvel female characters.
Mm-hmm.
They're based on the artwork of Adam Hughes, whose style and artwork is very pinup-y. That's the kind of thing that he goes for.
Okay.
We previously talked about the first statue in the series on the show. We actually talked about the White Queen Emma Frost statue.
Oh, that was a sexy statue.
With the big boobs.
Feel for saying it. It was sexy. Yeah.
So the statue that is raising so much ire, if you will, is the Mary Jane Parker statue that they have coming out.
And what is Mary Jane Parker doing in this statue?
All right. So what she's doing and what she is wearing is what's causing the fervor.
Okay.
She is bending over a laundry basket.
Knees locked.
Yes, knees locked. And she's... Jeez.
Well, that's a visual that people can relate to.
Yes. In addition to the image that we can put online for them to see.
They could relate to that too.
But she is pulling out of said laundry basket a Spider-Man costume.
Right. Which is the safest part of the whole statue.
Right. And she's kind of looking away from the costume, kind of looking at you if you were looking at the statue head on. And she's kind of got this shit-eating grin on her face.
I would have called it naughty. But
okay, naughty works too.
Shit eating may also work.
Well, I guess depending on what your definition of naughty is, yes.
So also of interest is her shape,
yes.
Let's say.
So she has this grin on her face, and she is in true Mary Jane form, both sexy and busty and pinup-y, to the style of Adam Hughes again. I mean, she's wearing like a midriff shirt and her tits are practically falling out, and she's wearing a pair of jeans, and because of the way she's bent over, you could see the top of her thong, and she's barefoot, and she's wearing a pearl necklace.
Ripped jeans. What?
Yes.
I had not noticed that, Matt.
Yes, she's wearing a pearl necklace.
I got to go back and look at the picture. That's ridiculous.
Okay, but...
Is Mary Jane known for wearing a pearl necklace in the way that she's drawn?
You know what? She is known as... She is known as both being sexual and elegant and the girl next door all at the same time. I mean,
and pearls say all those things.
Well, I think the pearls kind of are the pearls represent the elegance.
I hear you.
And the rest of it is the sexuality behind the character.
She's been
an actor, a lingerie model, a runway model. I mean, she's been obviously Peter Parker's girlfriend and wife. So she's been kind of everything. She is a strong female character in the universe in some way, shape, or form. And I think that all these people who think that the statue is misogynistic and sexist and perverted and, you know, inappropriate, I think really it's kind of silly, and maybe they should have better things to focus on.
Take a chill pill, people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Seeing a statue in person, it's really kind of innocent. It's really nothing to get your panties in a knot.
But
if you go to the Sideshow website right now and you click on the statue, there's this whole, like, you could post messages about the statue. And, like, about, like, the first, you know, 15 or so posts are like, how hot is this? And, yeah, I'm going to get me one of those. And I wish real girls looked like that. You know, typical, like, fanboy, stupid horseshit. But then somewhere in the middle of it, it becomes this, like, hate fest for Sideshow and for Mary Jane. And it's, I don't know. I think it's really just, I don't know. It's a little too much.
I'm just going to say it's a nice piece, and we can leave it at that.
Yes. So I got to see that live and in person, and that was certainly nice. And then while we're talking about the sexuality of that statue, we can talk about the whores and booth babes briefly at Comic-Con, because there was an abundance of them.
These booth babes have been outlawed at video game conferences, basically.
They have
E3,
been.
No more.
Yes.
But
not at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con?
No, they are there in full force. One of the most impressive booth babes was at the Grindhouse booth.
Mm-hmm.
They had a girl, a model, who looked very much like Rose McGowan, which is pretty impressive in and of itself.
Right.
But this model legitimately only had one leg.
Oh my God.
And legitimately had the gun attachment attached to the bottom of her stump.
Now that is dedication.
That is dedication. And all I could think to myself as I walked by was, that's really impressive. And could you imagine that casting call? Like, could you imagine getting that phone call? You're a model, you're at home, you've got one leg. Up until now, you've really only done, like, top shots or hand modeling, perhaps. You know, and maybe something where you're sitting down.
Now, I would have been thinking, I really want to kick that gun leg out.
Well, I mean, she was standing up on a table, like, up against, like, a pole. I was really impressive to see her there with this gun attachment to her leg. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, good luck to her
in
her future endeavors.
In addition to that, we saw a lot of Slave Leia's there, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a lot of anime girls running around in their anime girl outfits, like you do. We saw Ruby Rocket there, who we've talked about on the show previously, who's making a name for herself as far as cosplay is concerned. Actually, is going to be in the French edition of FHM in the near future. And then we also saw the Suicide Girls had a booth there.
They are all over the place.
They are all over the place.
It's like you go to a bar, the Suicide Girls are there.
Yeah.
You go to work, the Suicide Girls are there.
I wish they were at work. Jeez. But in particular, there was this one girl. She had to be like 6'2", and then she had on like 6-inch platform shoe. I mean, she was just towering and monstrous, and she was wearing this like uber short skirt that her butt hung out of. And I was standing behind her at one point, and her ass was actually eye level. I guess it was what it was.
If you turned around and backed into her, where her ass cheeks have been on your shoulders,
they would have been nestling on my shoulders comfortably. So lots of booth babes there. Overall, I mean, and like I said, without playing the audio and talking about some of the specific panels that we saw that we'll get to, Comic-Con was a huge success for me. It was a really good time. I cannot wait to go back next year. And we met some really great fans out there, too, fans of the show. There were a bunch of them out there in abundance that kind of came up to us a couple times and were like, ooh, aren't you? Kind of made fun of me for some of the things I say of my mannerisms, which, you know, I take it all in stride. It's all good.
Did any of them say that I'm handsome?
No, but everybody did ask for you. Everybody did was like, where's Fantastic? You know, and as per usual, you know, he's home. He's got ungeeky things to do was the response that I gave them.
I'm not doing anything.
No, but you are popular amongst the fans. It is because you're handsome. I'm convinced.
Face made for podcasts.
That's right. Only a mother could love it. So so that's it. That's my San Diego diary, as you named it earlier.
No, wait. Let me do it.
Okay.
So that's Matt's San Diego diary.
Give me a sign. Hello out there. Everyone in Geekland. Yeah, that's you. I mean you.
this is Daddy Fantastic. That's right. You know, Mr. Fantastic's father. I know you didn't think he had any relatives, but he does. I've been thinking the only way Mr. Fantastic is ever going to get out of that basement of mine is if this show really takes off. Yeah, he lives in the basement. We let him out to do the show, but I want him out of there permanently. So what Mrs. Fantastic and I need you to do is visit the iTunes store and subscribe to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's Big Kev's Geek. Yeah, you know what I mean. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You do that by typing Geek Stuff. I know that's a little strange, but it's Geek Stuff into the search field. And then you hit some keys, and before you can say David Copperfield, you're there. It's unbelievable. It's just something really that's fantastic. Yeah, that's right. Daddy Fantastic. Also, don't forget to visit the website on the internets. The address is big. It's very big, this address. It's just so long to get it out. It's Big Kegs. What's the guy's name? Would you please tell me? What's his name? Big Kev. That's it. I knew it. BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can't miss it. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. It's not time to make one more thing. I messed up before. If you would like to hear more Big Kev's Geek Stuff, email eric.logan@xmradio.com. Don't forget. You have to know. Find a girl.
Settle down. Episode 68, No Place Like Home.
There is no place like home, but we are going to talk about a little bit of the things that I picked up while I was in San Diego, and then we're going to wrap this puppy up. So let's get real quick into October Toys. For those of you who may or may not remember, we talked about their series, The Gwyn Army, which is a series of vinyl toys based on Tux the Linux Penguin. You can check them out at octobertoys.com or gwynarmy.com. While I was out there, I happened to meet the members of October Toys and the Toy Break podcast, who are huge fans of the show, by the way.
Hey, guys.
And they're huge fans of yours, also fantastic, I should say.
I'm huge fans of them's.
Aw, you're sweet.
I really am. I have the original Tux Linux Penguin made by October Toys, the Gwyn, on top of my monitor at work.
Awesome. Well, you're going to love something I'm going to tell you in a second, but real quick, they gave me series three of the Gwyns while I was out there, and I kind of just wanted to go over them real quick. Again, it's five in total for the line. We have Barbary Gwyn, which is obviously a Conan barbarian type of penguin-y guy. Pretty neat. I like the detail on him. Probably like mid-range as far as my favorite in this series. We have Goofball and Snack Time, who are really cool. Again, Goofball looks like, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, he's kind of got a goofy face on him, big tongue, busted teeth, kind of funny. Probably my least favorite in the series, although I do really like him, but if I have to rank him, he's number five out of five. Number four out of five would be Snack Time, which is, he's kind of cute. It's pretty much a generic Gwyn. He's got a apple in his mouth that's painted on his belly, and the apple has a little face on it as well, little eyes that you can see. It's you know, it's kind of cute, and it goes along with some of the other cute ones that they have in the previous one, previous series. We have Bat, which really was my favorite until I looked at the last one, which we'll get to in a second. Bat is kind of one of those landscape ones. It's similar to, and I can't remember the name off the top of my head right now, but it's the one that had the tree landscape painted on it. This has the head of the Gwyn is the bat's head, and the wings kind of wrap around the back of the Gwyn. And then painted on the gut is a cemetery scene. You see the see kind of a crescent moon, see a couple of headstones, a Celtic cross headstone. And it's really kind of a good creepy design. And if you didn't really know what you were looking at, you may not even realize that it was the Gwyn outside of the paint job. My favorite one, though, in the line is Night of the Living Gwyn. The Gwyn itself kind of looks like a zombie. It's got a blank stare on it. It's got pure white pupils. He's kind of a greenish hue. But the bottom half of him going into his feet is actually a zombie scene. There are three kind of small zombies painted on it, kind of walking towards you, doing that zombie death walk. And again, it's pretty neat. It's a really good scene. And I don't know, for overall coolness in the line, I think that that's my favorite. So if I had to pick one that I could own, that would be it.
Personally, I like the Barbera Gwyn.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like the little knife. He has a skull on his kind of like fur loincloth thing right. that they got him wearing. He's got a headband. And I think the funniest part is that he's Caucasian flesh painted.
Yes.
For a penguin, I just find that funny.
Well, he'd go good with Tim the Pirate from Series 1, I think.
They do go well together.
Yeah,
so, it's like they're almost partners.
Aw, how cute. So remember, you can check them out at OctoberToys.com. Those guys are really great. You can check out their podcast at ToyBreak.com. You can check the Gwyns out specifically at GwynArmy.com. And I recommend getting them. They are really cool. Again, the vinyl is pretty important and pretty big right now in the toy movement. And this is a great representation of a unique product. So
speaking of vinyl, you have another piece of vinyl around here too, right?
I do. While I was walking around the vinyl booths, and there was so much of it, only a handful of things really stood out and kind of grabbed my attention. This piece here would be one of them. This is from Atomic Monkey. It is actually Franken Monkey is the piece that I'm holding in my hand. And he's, you know, he comes with a little story. He's kind of a monkey that's mutated by some toxic goo and then gets adopted back into the wild by the other monkeys and kind of makes a name for himself. And, you know, he's got a third eye, and I believe all three eyes glow in the dark.
So it says in the package.
Right. And I like the fact that his head is removable. You can remove the top portion of his scalp to reveal a brain inside.
Oh, my.
And if that wasn't cool enough, the brain actually comes out.
Not only that, according to the package, the removable brain glows in the dark.
Yeah, so again, it's, I don't know, just something about this was really intriguing to me. I liked the concept. There was a variant on it. There was actually a black variant and a brown variant. I have the brown one here in the studio with me. And they have some other Atomic Monkeys in the line, smaller scale. I saw one that kind of looked like a Dracula vampire type thing. And I don't know, it's just maybe something about monkeys that really intrigues me. But I don't know, it's a cool little piece. There's no real articulation on the piece at all because it is vinyl, with the exception of the tail. The tail spins, and again, the head comes off, but it's not really articulation because it's not hinged or jointed at all. But you can check them out at AtomicMonkeyLTD.com. And I don't know, it's a really, really cool product. I recommend that all of you go and check it out. I'm going to try in the future to make the vinyl market my thing to bring to the show. Because really, you know, I love DC Direct and all, but how much DC Direct can we have?
So far, I've been very impressed with the vinyl stuff that you brought in. I think it's very good artistic quality. Mm-hmm. It's all been very original.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what the vinyl market is all about. I think it's about individual artist creativity. I mean, you'll see what happens is, like, for example, going back to the Gwyns real quick, each of these Gwyns was designed by a different artist. And actually has the artist's name under each one on the packaging.
I saw that.
And a lot of these other vinyl products, they're different artists that get together and put out different variations on a similar theme or different variations of the same vinyl piece. And I don't know, I think it's a really good forum for creativity. And that's why I'm intrigued by it.
It's like you can own a little piece of art for only a couple bucks.
It's true. And I have quite a lot of vinyl in my personal collection now. So I'm glad to add these to that collection. So again, that's AtomicMonkeyLTD.com if you want to check out Franken Monkey, which I highly recommend that you do.
What do you say? You want to wrap this up and go get some Chinese food?
I do want to wrap this up and get something to eat because I am starving. So real quick tonight, we talked about a couple of movie trailers. Probably the most important one, I think, would be the 30 Days of Night unrated one and the Iron Man YouTube trailer from Comic-Con. Both trailers are really important to check out. The Iron Man trailer, very impressive. The 30 Days of Night trailer, very gory and true to the original source material. So definitely worth checking out. DVDs this week, the most important one probably to check out would be 300. quickly followed by Hot Fuzz. TV-related news, we have Kevin Smith will be directing the first episode of Heroes Origins. Joss Whedon will be doing a BBC version of Ripper, which is a film that he's going to, or a television series he's going to develop based on Giles, the Watcher from the Buffy series. And ABC has a series coming out called The Masters of Sci-Fi that I think all of you would be missing out on if you don't at least give it a whirl. And that was pretty much the bulk of it. We talked a little bit about my Comic-Con experience, and we'll get a little bit more into Comic-Con in the following weeks. We have some really good interviews and audio clips, some new drops that some of you will be appreciating. So we'll get to those in some of the coming weeks when Kevin is back from walking the earth. And then we wrapped up with October Toys and Frankenmonkey. Again, you should check both of those out online, and you should check us out online. Care to tell them where they can do that, Fantastic?
They can do it at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or visit the MySpace page at MySpace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff. Visit us on the iTunes Music Store and leave a review. This was episode 68 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, No Place Like Home. I'm Mr. Fantastic.
And I am Matt, OG co-host.
And we're out of here.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!